Lisa Timoringa is with us, and Lisa is the co-chair of Alcohol Health Coalition New Zealand. You're probably familiar with Tori Whanau, who's the mayor of Wellington, and she's been public about having battles with the drink. And in some ways, that serves a great purpose, because high-profile people are just as susceptible to having alcohol issues as anyone else in our society. And surely we've got to feel that by her going public with her own private and intimate battle with the booze, it can encourage others to acknowledge that they too might have an issue or a position that could be refined. Going forward, Lisa's here to talk about drink in our societies, and also public figures admitting to frailty in this regard. Thank you for joining us on the show today, Lisa. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. I can't help but think that high-profile people who admit to frailty in this area are actually doing us a good service, and I applauded Tory's honesty through the media. It's a tough decision to go public in that way, but do you think it serves a positive purpose?
I do, definitely. And I, you know, really applaud her for coming out. And I think as a wahine Māori, she unfortunately will face much greater scrutiny because of that than other politicians. I think we can all think about, you know, we can all probably name people, other prominent male politicians been on TV when we know they're under the influence. So good on her for coming up, but I hope that as a society we don't treat her more harshly than we do to other.
Yeah, look, I've got to agree. I mean, it seems okay for guys to get out and get on the drink, and you know, we don't need to go into names. I think most of the general public know, you know, some form across the years of high-profile politicians, but wahine seem to get the double banger, don't they?
Yeah, we, you know, women probably drink a little bit less hazardly in general than men, but it's, you know, comparable, but we seem to get blamed a lot more because we expect women to, I don't know, uphold different standards. I mean, and there are greater risks possibly as a woman because, you know, we do give birth to children, and so hazardous drinking poses a risk not only to ourselves and our families but also to the unborn child. But, we've got to accept that this is a problem across all of society, and particularly amongst our tāne of all ethnicities.
Well, hey, it's right across the board. Drinks are so ubiquitous. It's just so much part of our lifestyle and our communities. I live in the south side of Auckland, and there's a booze shop on every corner, literally. What about Māori and booze? Do you think that we have investigated our use of it well enough, and do you think that we have been strong enough in our messaging of moderation, Lisa? It's one thing to look at the wider New Zealand issues regarding booze, but have we done enough ourselves as a people?
I don't think, as you know, our policymakers, our government, have done enough to support our people to, you know, break this pattern of hazardous drinking. So it's about 1 in 5 New Zealanders are drinking much more than is healthy. So they're drinking at a rate that can cause harm to themselves. And we don't do anything really to regulate the alcohol industry. So we put all the blame on the individuals and the communities and fail to see the root cause of the problem, which is that we've got an industry that's making a huge amount of money out of selling alcohol to us. They actively market it. There's no restraint on how they can market it. So we still have plenty of booze advertising on all forms, sports advertising, on digital environments. So we're getting this message all the time that drinking is good. We've got a new sort of emerging sort of culture of promoting drinking in women. So, you know, we've got all these memes all over social media now talking about it being wine o'clock and sort of showing women getting a little bit messy on the booze. And then in our low-income neighbourhoods, which is where more of our Māori population tend to live, they're saturated with boot shops, you know, so it's in our faces all the time. And there's actually very little we can do as a community to say, hey, we don't want that shop in our neighbourhood. Hey, stop putting adverts up in front of our kids in every space that they live. So we really need to, you know, have a lot more say. Government needs to honour its treaty obligations here and let our communities have a say in how alcohol is regulated in New Zealand. Sorry for the rant.
No, it's not a rant. It's a really important kaupapa here. You know, sometimes I think that, and you touched on it, you know, the way we advertise to our young people, and, you know, it's almost a rite of passage into adulthood. Not saying that drinking is good or drinking isn't bad, but, you know, we're not seeing, hey, you're good and your clear thoughts are real and they're valued. You know, it almost seems as though you're not an adult unless you've been on the TERPs, or it seems a strange way to approach it. It's a huge issue for us, though, isn't it? There's a feast and famine style of drinking among many Māori. I know that's a generalisation, but that could have historical perspectives as well. The way we drink, is there some hangover from history that we carry into modern-day Māori life?
I mean, we've celebrated for a long time getting on the TERPs, having a lot to drink, getting messy, and I think that's Kiwi culture, not just Māori culture. But I also think, you know, there's been a lot of people use alcohol as a crutch when they're dealing with mamai. And I think of, you know, my tūpuna coming back from the world wars and the pain and grief that they were dealing with, having seen their whānau killed before them. And actually the really shitty way they were treated as returned soldiers compared to Pākehā soldiers. And, you know, I think we can all, you know, recall stories of our, you know, the tough times that our returning grandparents were dealing with. And I think alcohol became a crutch, you know, to help deal with that. And that's just been sort of transmitted as a pattern of behaviour across the generations. And we know that, you know, when you've got mental health issues, stress, depression, if lots of people turn to a drink to try and ease that pain. So we need to look at other ways to support our whānau, to lift people so they don't need that alcohol as a crutch. But a good start would also be to just make it much, much less available, less in our faces as the obvious place to go when you're feeling burdened by all this stuff.
Would you like to see more high-profile Māori lent weight to what Tory has done? You know, coming out and saying, hey, I too have had battles with or am battling with a little bit more public honesty, because as we know, the net curtain alcoholics are all around us in every house in our suburbs. So would you like to see more people willing to share their honest story, as Tory has?
You know, I'm a bit in two minds about that. I think for sure in our families, I would love to see people in our families talking to each other about their battles. But I do worry in this climate that we've got at the moment that when Māori put their heads up, they're going to get just targeted more harshly than other New Zealanders at the moment. So it's a tricky one, isn't it? There's quite a bit of anti-Māori sentiment out there at the moment, and I wouldn't want, you know, this being fodder for the haters. So, yeah, I would have to think about that. I mean, I'd like to see leaders, you know, probably Pākehā leaders coming out and saying, look, I've got a problem, and drawing attention to the whole society-wide problem first, rather than you know, having it seen as a specifically Māori problem, which it isn't. You know, it's a society-wide problem.
Certainly is that, Lisa. Enjoy Christmas, with or without the booze,
thank
sister.
You.
And thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing some kōrero with us today. Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi.
Tēnā koe. Thank you.